This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ryan, go ahead.
How are we doing?
Did you miss us?
Of course. Of course.
I didn't get a chance to ask you at the Oregon game, other than the kneel down, what was your favorite play of that Oregon game?
Oh, man.
In some ways, was it Oregon game? Last year or this year, was it like a pair of
Coach Marks right there? You know what? When DJ ran over, I mean, you got to say Q Moore. I mean, that one's hard to beat, but like when DJ ran over their safety at the goal line, I just thought that was such a tone setter for how our guys felt and, you know, how we can't be as physical as them. And yeah, we won the game because we out-physicaled them. So I thought there was a statement with that how they were ready to play.
After the game, I asked Michael about the play to Quentin. Mm-hmm. And he, sometimes Michael just lights up. And that was one of those times where he really lit up. And he said that they'd been holding that in the back pocket for a little bit.
Yep, we have been. And that was one that, you know, you got to have confidence in the play and the player, and we certainly did. I just felt like that was a perfect time to call it, and the guys executed it really well, and it was fun to see hit. You know, I'm not expecting the third-string tight end to make a play like that.
I know you've got to run the whole offense, but I was talking to Troy yesterday about, you know, the Oregon center getting named first-team All-American, but Troy got voted by his peers as the best lineman in the conference. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Troy is the best lineman in the conference. And, you know, I think those are the ones that mean the most is when the guys you're playing against, they know what it feels like after the game, after they play you. And I think that says a lot and speaks volumes to, you know, how Troy has played this season.
Obviously, you know, Dylan's entered the portal, but he's still a member of this program.
Yeah.
Not everybody would be given that luxury, but it sounds like he's earned it. Why is he someone who you understand the situation but want to keep around here for this run?
Well, first of all, trust. You know, I think a lot of people don't want to do those things because they wouldn't trust a guy in the locker room to be saying the right things, doing the right things, and really wouldn't be trusting him to prepare for a game. And I have absolute trust. The team has absolute trust in Demo that's all he's going to do is prepare, you know, and he's going to do an awesome job being ready for the game. And, you know, everybody here supports Demo, you know, and he's ready to make the step on his next journey, but not until after the season. And he was really, really clear about that. And so, you know, Demo and I have had a lot of conversations, which number one is a credit to him just communicating, talking about what's going on, and, you know, really engaging, you know, looking for advice, wisdom, all those things. And honestly, he didn't want to go in the portal. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that were getting placed, and Demo was kind of getting passed up. And so really, we just had a discussion, and I didn't want Demo's being a good guy to hold him back from getting an opportunity somewhere. So, you know, he came in, talked, did everything the right way, and we were super excited about that. So he's on a visit right now. He'll be back when we're, you know, when it's dead and we're prepping for Texas, and he's all good, and he'll be ready to go. So he's a special kid.
Was part of the conversation in your plans for quarterback in 2024 and being involved in the portal and all those sort of things?
What
with Dylan?
Well, I think that, you know, when I talked to him for the season, you know, those are things that come up, is like how are we going to deal with this at the end of the year, and, you know, what's the confidence level, and some of it has to do with how he's doing and you know, where we perceive that he's at, he perceives he's at. And then I think part of that, the other layer is, you know, really for Dylan, it wouldn't be that, you know, he couldn't get the job, but it's like you have another year, and if you know, it doesn't go like you want, and you're sitting here. I get it. You know, it's the quarterback world's complicated sometimes, and even for really good team guys like Dylan, he just wants to make sure he's got a spot where he can be the guy and have a shot to, you know, play his last year eligibility.
You think there's a chance he comes back?
Oh, there's always a chance. You never know. I mean, I'd never say never. And, you know, certainly with Demo, we just communicate and talk. You know, I was talking to him while he was, you know, texting while he's on the plane, things like that. So we just wish him nothing but the best.
Coach Shepherd?
I suppose so. I haven't even thought about it that way. It's just been the next game. I think I've been brainwashed, and all of us have been brainwashed to just think 1-0. I mean, honestly, and I hadn't even thought about it that way at all. Coaching some great games, but some of those rivalry games are big games, you know, so you definitely didn't think about it that way. So, and I will not think about it that way. I'll continue to think about it as being 1-0.
What does it look like for the team to continue to stay focused? Obviously, the 1-0 mindset with a spot in the national championship on the line.
What does it look like? It's difficult at times, you know. You got the holidays coming up, your family's all involved, trying to figure out travel and tickets and all that stuff. So, of course, naturally, you know, there's going to be some distractions. But that's what this is all about. Adversity is always lurking right around the corner. And you have to be able to learn how to deal with adversity. And otherwise, you know what, someone else will deal with it better than you did. So a lot of people have to understand you turn adversity into opportunity, and that's what it is.
What are your thoughts on the Biletnikoff voting? Do you think that Romo Dunze should have won that award?
I think that we're worried about winning the college football playoff game. You know what? Those awards, there's various components that go into making the decisions about those. And, of course, if you win them, great. If not, you know, move forward, you know. At the end of the day, you can only control what you can control. And we do have control over the football game and the result of the football game. So that, to me, is what we're most concerned with.
Thanks, Coach.
Shep, you got, you know, I think a lot of people would say a pretty tough room. The story with Rome came out yesterday, but also J-Mac comes back from injury midseason. JP had a couple tough games and bounced back from that, and you've got more examples of that. Giles, other injuries. How would you assess the toughness and the resiliency of your group?
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, the recognition of how tough these guys are, it's really more related to them wanting to be out there with their brothers. I mean, and that's really what it is. They want to be out there and have a chance to impact the game. You even take a gentleman like Jeremy Bernard, who was super banged up this season. And you know what? If you look on film, he's running the ball, passing the ball, blocking defensive ends, blocking linebackers, safeties, corners, playing in the slot, playing on the outside. So, you know, he wants to do whatever he possibly can to help the team. So, again, Rome, same thing. That's why he played 2 weeks later against Oregon. J-Mac, that's why he was out there against Stanford trying to play, against Oregon trying to play. You know, these guys, they want to do whatever it is to help their brothers experience the type of success. It kind of reminds, reminiscent of, you know, Michael Jordan in that Last Dance and him talking about, if you don't want to play that way, all right, don't play that way. Well, my guys want to play that way, so we're going to play that way.
With the Rome situation, had you been around a situation quite like that in terms of the extent of the injury and coming back that quickly? Have you seen anything quite like that?
I've seen some guys play with some serious things going on, but you talk about a punctured lung and broken rib. I mean, that's – I joked with him today. I said, you leaked that story, because but obviously he didn't. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that kid, I've always said how tough he is. I really tell people a lot of times, at moments he's Rome the philosopher, and at other moments he's Rome the warrior. And the philosophical man that he is, guess what? He knows how to lead our football team from an area where he's challenging them to think beyond just – they're here and now. You know, he's challenging them to think beyond simple ideas, and that's how he'll lead them. But then he has those moments when he's Rome the warrior, and he can lead them with this brute nature in terms of how he approaches things. And of course, in this moment, he was Rome the warrior, and so I think that going forward, you know, that'll be how I always remember that moment. I got a huge poster up there of him catching that touchdown against Oregon in the end zone, and in my mind, every time I think Rome the warrior.
It's in your office.
It is, yeah.
Gotcha. J-Mac, similar. I mean, he seems like, you talk to him and he had to work through some mental stuff this year, just with always trying to come back and trying to you know, reach that. I'm wondering how you've seen him come through and what the evolution's been like with him just sticking through that.
So proud of him. We were actually just talking about it at the practice field, me and some of the other coaches and whatnot, and athletic trainers and strength coaches, you know. When we first got here, I can say this without a shadow of a doubt that he wouldn't have fought through it that way, you know. And when we got, and over the course of these last 2 years, I mean, his resilience and the man that he has become and his determination, oh, it's special. It's special. And it's probably one of the most things I'm most proud of that you don't get to talk about very much. It's just how he has progressed and become the man that he is right now. So kudos to him. He understands it. He gets it. He knows what it requires to be the type of teammate that other people want to follow. And he's putting in the work to make himself into that man.
This is God, huh?
Thanks, Coach.
Caleb McGarry, now Troy Faletanu, Morris Trophy. How important is that to you?
I think it's the the coolest award that you can absolutely win. I think it's, I mean, I don't know what the other conferences do in the country, but I know where I came from, there was no such award. And I think it's just the best award you can win, especially for an offensive or defensive lineman. It's voted on by the opposing players. It's not like a popular, I don't ever view it as a popularity contest. Like, you know, I've watched my guys vote for the opposing defensive lineman. It's not the whole group. It's 10. I think it's 10 guys on for the O-line that can vote for the defensive line. I think it's 8 guys per team that can vote for the offensive line. You can't vote for anybody on your own team. I just think it's like the realest award you can win, you know? So it's awesome. It's awesome for Troy, awesome for Caleb, awesome for Liatu, that he won it, you know, even though he's not with us anymore. It's a great award.
I mean, what was your conversation like when you talked to him about it?
I called him. Well, you were the one that posted it. And I was like, well, I couldn't find your cell phone number. And then sure enough, we'd had an email or whatever sent over to it. And I just told, you know, the guys know how important the award is. Like I mean, we vote for it every year, regardless of whether one of our guys wins or not. So, I mean, they know what goes into it. And I love hearing their debates when they're talking about who they're voting for. And it's awesome.
He was one of those guys who waited. He waited his turn. How hard is it for a guy like that? I mean, you've got some young guys now that are having to wait their turn.
Yeah. I think if everybody's being realistic, that's kind of how it's kind of supposed to be, you know, a little bit. It takes a long time to develop guys, you know, particularly offensive linemen, whether that's because of the physical, you know, strength that they need to have or just the weight that they need to have, the training that they need to have, and then the fundamentals, the scheme, the confidence, all that stuff plays into it. It's really hard to come in and play really early.
I'm sure you saw the play, but there was a place kind of went viral on Twitter, so kind of showed you guys being bullies out there on Dylan Johnson's carry, and Parker pulled, and Troy just annihilated his guy. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I think so. It was like counter to the
left.
Got down to like the 2 or 3 yard line or whatever. Yeah, I know which one.
What's film session like when you put that on and play it?
No, they like watching those plays a lot more than they like watching bad ones. You can start seeing, you know, I've already watched the film as we're going through the game, and you can start to see guys sometimes start slumping low in their chair because they know a bad play's coming up for them. But then when, you know, stuff like that getting ready to come on, they're kind of, you know, they get a little, just read their body language. You can tell if they're fired up or not.
What do you remember about the two interior linemen at Texas from last year's game?
Really damn good. Yep, really good. 90, 93, those guys are really good players. They got two other kids that play that are arguably just as good, maybe even a fifth. So they do a great job. I don't know Coach Davis, the defensive line coach at Texas, but I can tell you that he's got talented kids, but they're really well coached. And that's about the best compliment I can give them, is that you can see that they're talented, but they play hard. Their fundamentals are really good. Their hand placement, the way they split double teams, they do a heck of a job. You know, obviously, Coach Kwiatkowski's one of my really good friends and a guy that I worked with for a long time. You can certainly see his influence in the defense. Coach Jeff Choate, who was another guy that worked here at Washington that I worked with at Boise State, who's another really good friend. You know, the linebackers, their front seven's really damn good.
How about I know there's going to be a lot of emphasis on Parker being 275 pounds against a 330-pound interior guy. How do you maximize that?
Yeah, well, you got to put him in the most advantageous, you know, positions that we can get him in, whether that's just, you know, good angles or, you know, just the schemes that we pick. But I know this, Parker will be prepared. Parker's going to play really hard, and I can tell you that Parker's not really worried about it right now. So we'll do our best to put him in the best situation. But he's got to trust his fundamentals and like he's done all year, and run the show out there, and I think we'll be all right.
One more question for you, just in recruiting. Troy's got another year left.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time. Last year he had a good grade. He could have came out last year. He's ready. He's mission accomplished from what he needed to get done this year. He's not worried about that right now. But, you know, everybody's focus is on, you know, playing the Sugar Bowl and you know, see what happens after that. But Troy's done what he needs to do. He's ready to go.
How about Roger?
He's working through it right now. You know, we're waiting for the CAC, the College Advisory Committee, to come back with what they view. We've obviously had conversations with Raj, and Raj's going to make, you know, him and his family are going to make the best decision for him. But I can just tell you that both those guys are all in on focused on, you know, trying to do the best we can in the Sugar Bowl.
Parker goes against guys bigger than him on a regular basis,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yep.
Second team all conference. He wins a lot.
Yep.
When he's succeeding in you know, going up against guys who have 20, 30, maybe 40 pounds on him.
50.
Yeah. Maybe closer to 100.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
What's he doing well? What allows him to do that?
He's fundamentally, he's really good. You know, he's got a does a really good job bending his knees. He does a good job with his hand placement. He is strong. You know, he's stronger than you would think. He's really a strong kid in the weight room. And really it's been that, you know, and then just, you can never measure his heart, and, he does a good job with those things, and, you know, he might get him on one, but it's going to have a hard time getting him consistently.
So is the question about Sweat and Brailsford, was that how it's?
Basically, yeah.
Because you guys had a, he didn't destroy you guys last year. I mean, in fact, you guys ran for a lot of yards on him. Well, what did you do to him last year to kind of neutralize him?
I think Jackson and Biney both had good games. You know, we just tried to get into good fits in the run game, and you know, you got to hit them in the right spots to get them to move, and those guys last year, you know, did a decent job of that, and so we're going to have a big challenge to do that again this year.
Yeah. Last thing, I did this story, or I did this research on how many Peterson guys are still here that signed with Peterson, not just were recruited. It's like 21 of them still. And I talked to Fautano about it. And I said, you know, you went through all this shuffle, and you came here for Chris Peterson, and he left. Because he said, I sat in that office, and I knew right then I was going to play for him. I'd run through a wall for him. And I said, well, how did you handle all that? And he goes, well, I got huff all through all three of those coaches. So, I mean, that's the reason it wasn't a big deal for us linemen. It might have been for some other guys. But can you talk a little bit about that?
These guys, that was the vision when we were recruiting all those guys, is games like the one we're getting ready to play on January 1st. And, you know, fortunately for me, and I guess you could say those guys too, that I've been able to be here for that duration of time. And, you know, I love those kids, and hopefully they reciprocate that. But, that was the vision all along, is for games like, you know, seasons like this, games like this, and credit those guys for sticking it out, because it hasn't always been easy, I can assure you that.
Yeah. So with all this amazing success here at Washington, it's unprecedented success for over a 2-year span. There's going to be rewards for the coaching staff, and we've heard, you know, one of your guys is moving on. What about you? Are you going to be a head coach someday?
You know what? I don't know. I'm kind of in my happy spot when I'm out there. We're, you know, typical. I like being outside. I don't like the indoor facility. But I like being out there on the grass with my guys. I'm kind of into that. I don't know. We'll see. I'd say, yeah, my wife asked me that question all the time. I don't know. I kind of like just being me and my guys in the grass. You know, yeah, that's what I like.
I think if there was a Huff head coach, I'd probably want to cover that team.
Yeah, it'd be, we'd make it interesting, that's for sure. Yeah. I don't know. It might be a compliance nightmare. No, I'm totally joking. Totally joking. I just lost my job. Delete that.
Pete Kwiatkowski, Jeff Choate, are they any different now than they were when they were here?
Nah, they're awesome. You know, Jeff just got the head coaching job at Nevada, and that's something that, you know, that's basically, I think, essentially why he went to Texas was, is it, you know, that he could get a little bit more experience, maybe, you know, to have the season that they're having and help catapult that for him and his career. And he's, you guys know him, he's a very passionate coach, does a great job, his players love him. That's no different when you watch those the linebackers on film. You can tell that they love their coach, they've been coached well, they play hard. You know, PK, like, that's he's another one of my best buddies. We're going to have to stop texting and calling each other so much now because it's getting closer to game time. But, yeah, those guys are awesome. You know, that's what – I mean, it doesn't shock me in one bit that they're doing so well on defense, you know, because they're damn good coaches.
Do you want to send a shot across the bow to either one of them?
No, no, I don't. I'll do that on my own personal cell phone, and I don't need to – no. No, those guys are my buddies. It's always hard playing your friends, but – you know, last year when we came up on top, like, PK was the first guy over that I talked to after the game. Choate, PK, like, they're just class act guys. They really are. And it's going to be a great game. You know, it'll be a great game. And these are the fun ones.
Scott, you might have mentioned this just real quick. Their D tackle combo. Have you seen too many groups like that on the college level?
No, I think last year when we saw them, you know, like, they're playing great. 90, 93, those guys are studs. Even the backup guys that they have, 45, 98, I think there's like another 9, maybe 90, 95. Like, they're, and they do a damn good job coaching those guys. I don't know the defensive line coach there. I haven't met him. I know, obviously, talking with PK and Choate, he does a hell of a job, and you can see it. You know, they're talented kids, but you can tell that they're coached really, really well. And so, it's fun. That's fun. That's what you want. You want your guy, you know, you want to, I mean, this is the, you know, we were talking about recruiting earlier. This was the vision all along. Like way back when we were recruiting Nate and Troy and Juice and, you know, any of those guys. I mean, it was for this type of game, this type of season. You know, that's why you work hard, and so it's really cool to be here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morrell.
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's going on?
Kind of weird to be playing Texas 2 years in a row in a bowl game.
You know, we were talking about it a little bit the other day. It almost felt to me, I mean, the bowl game last year, because there's such a long layoff, felt like the start of the next season. So it feels like we're playing them twice in 1 year. But no, I mean, I think there's, you know, a high level of familiarity for both teams, you know, and so it's going to be a great rematch, and I know the guys are big time excited about it.
How is Texas different this year from what you've seen as well?
You know, there's a lot of similarities. You know, obviously, that, you know, they've upgraded their personnel in a couple spots, and so have we. But you know, obviously, you know, Sark does a great job. They got a great offense, you know, and you know, there's a really well-rounded unit all the time, but it's a lot of honestly, it's a lot of the same cast of characters as it was a year ago.
You guys got Zach Durfee eligible. Sounds
yeah. Durfee.
Is he in a position to contribute in this game?
You know, I think he is. I think he is. You know, obviously we've been feeding him reps, you know, been working through, you know, the the cascade of appeal processes, and always hoping that we'd give him, you know, an opportunity. Maybe it was going to happen halfway through the season. So he's repped throughout the year, not at an extreme rate, but he's also not a freshman, you know. And so I think he's shown us what he could do during fall camp and sporadically throughout the season. I think there's certainly some times where he can be an asset for us.
Do you feel like the defense is peaking at the right time right now?
The right time. Yeah, I mean, every game is the right time, right? So, I go back through the back piece of the season here, really, since the starting with the second half of Utah. I feel like we played really good football, going through Oregon State and Wazoo and the way we came out and played against Oregon in the second game. I think our guys are playing really well right now.
Can you talk about how, you know, big moments this defense has come up big with sort of the game on the line? What is it about this defense that, regardless of how the game sort of starts out, they can come up in big moments?
Yeah, just fearless. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. They're confident that, you know, we always tell them there's going to be that time where you got to step up when your back's against the wall and make a play. And there's just hasn't been any – they haven't been phased at all, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. I mean, they've got confidence in themselves and each other to be able to make the plays at the critical moments.
Can you talk about the secondary and how they've come along specifically with Jabbar Muhammad?
Yeah, I think Jabbar's been fantastic, really a leader for us the entire season. And collectively here late, we've gotten some guys back, which has been an asset. You know, there's certainly a stretch of the season where we were a little low on guys, and now we're starting to get back to full force and creating some depth again with the guys that now have a lot of experience throughout the course of the season. So, you know, guys have had to play multiple spots, so now we walk into, you know, the last part of the season here with a lot of confidence with guys being ready to go again.
Thank you, Coach.
I wanted to ask about Cameron Fabi-Kulanen and
Fab, yep.
Yeah, and Asa coming back. Their leadership in that deep patrol and everything like that. Just talk about what they add and what you saw out of them against Oregon when both of them seemed to come back healthy.
Yeah, I mean, just great. I mean, first of all, I mean, just fantastic preparation and incredible football IQ. Mm-hmm. And I think as a play caller, that certainly – elevates confidence when you know, I mean, they're able to put you in and out of every check, and they're able to play really fast and they play with a lot of confidence, and you know absolutely getting them back was an asset, and really proud of really the whole room right now, because guys had to play multiple spots and had to move around week to week. We come in with the game plan, the guys did a great job of pulling it off, but getting back to having a veteran presence on the field is definitely a plus.
You mentioned getting some guys back healthy. Is this the healthiest you guys have been since the start of the season?
Since week one.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, it's been, getting Thule back is a huge deal for us. Like, in a full capacity, he's been on a pitch count a lot the back half of the season. And then, excuse me, getting our, backer, Zoe Tupitalo was out for a minute. And then, of course, the documented safeties in and out. And, you know, absolutely, we're in the best shape we've been in since fall camp.
Have you guys had any discussions with Asa about coming back? Maybe you don't want to speak to this, but Asa coming back?
It's a possibility for sure. I mean, I think right now guys are so laser beamed in on, an opportunity to compete for a national championship that those discussions typically happen after the season's over. But, there's certainly a possibility.
Okay. Juice Brown. So, talk about happy holidays. Obviously, playing this time of year and practicing and things like that, that's got to make things a little nicer for you and the family and just kind of the good feeling.
Yeah, no, it's a good vibe. The guys have a good vibe. Practice has been good. Now they get a chance to kind of go home, decompress, watch some college football, and start to get themselves ready to go for here the game in a couple weeks.
Compared to a year ago, do you feel like you were able to kind of mitigate some of the things that last year it just kind of snowballed in terms of injuries and just having to really kind of rotate guys all the time?
Yeah, I think we still ran into a rash of injuries at the safety position, but yeah. we had some guys step up. We had, Thaddeus Dixon stepped up and played a larger role for us. You had some guys that played a lot of snaps on the season between Misha and Dom, so we were able to not get as thin and have enough guys to continue to win and go out and play well.
In some ways, was it, you look at the number ones last year to this year, like a Perryman to a Muhammad transfer, things like that. Could you almost just kind of sum it up as Jordan was never really able to stay fully healthy, whereas Jabbar was able to stay on the field?
Yeah, I think it was that. Jordan got hurt early, first game of the year, and Jabbar played the whole season. And then the development of EJ came a long way, and obviously adding that, and really just – those guys pushing each other and challenging each other to go out there and go compete and compete at a high level. So it's fun to watch them when they're able to go out there and do what they do. You know, even watching them in the championship game, yeah, battling against a great wide receiver and sitting there going toe-to-toe with them. So got to continue to do that. We got another great wide receiver core that we got to go against, so we got to be ready to go.
Health aside, what do you think is the, kind of the, either the teaching points or just the general vibe in the room or whatnot that was different this year than it was last year?
I just think it's the approach and the mentality. You know what I mean? That those kids, they're intentional when they come in and they watch tape and things that they do. And so they've been doing that. You know, I think they hold each other extremely accountable. They know that they have to go out and play well. We ask those guys between EJ, Thad, and Jabbar, we ask them to do a lot in terms of going cover guys. You know, and like I said, we got Meesh and Don back there, and having the safeties back and having everybody together for the Pac-12 championship, I think we were able to get back to playing some pretty sound.
I was going to say, the one thing is that obviously it looks like you guys are almost completely healthy.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, so it's good to see.
Yeah.
It's good to see.
Happy holidays with that,
thanks,
too, I guess.
Yeah.
I was also curious, with the portal now and NIL and everything else that kind of goes into it, what is your mindset when you want to be coaching these guys up, you want to be getting them ready for a playoff game, yet at the same time, you know, these guys have decisions to make, whether it's to stay one more year or whether it's to look to another school. How do you balance all those kind of competing interests?
Yeah, I think we're very open in our room. I think those guys love playing for each other. Those guys are great as teammates. So for me, you know, if we do decide to bring somebody in the portal, he has to fit the room and has to fit the culture and the vibe that we've created. So you know, we're open about what we're doing. Those guys know. They accept it. And at the end of the day, you know, to be a great player, you have to go against competition, and they know that. And so,
in your hierarchy of things that you look for in traits, if you do bring someone in the room, how does the fit overall and the culture and everything else fit with the athletic piece? Because obviously, I know there was a big move towards getting longer, lengthier, having bigger levers, longer levers. How do you kind of marry those two ideas together?
Yeah, I think it has to fit. You know, I think it has to fit. We, obviously, like you said, we wanted to get longer, but we brought Jabbar in at 5'9", and he's able to play. But I knew his mentality was right, you know, and so it's just getting the guy that's the right temperament, that's going to come in, that want to compete to play, and want to push his teammates, because at the end of the day, these guys know they all need each other. And so that temperament is at the top of the list for me.
When it comes to those discussions, whether it's a Jabbar or maybe even an Asa because of his situation, do you put those discussions on the shelves till afterwards, or do you have to kind of continuously keep that dialogue going?
You know what? You know, those guys have been very great in just keeping the main thing the main thing. And right now it's going out and try to win a national championship. And so I know they're completely focused on that. It'll come up at some point. But I know right now, you know, they're completely locked in on trying to go out and win another game and have a chance to play for the whole thing.
Yeah. And you talked about the safety situation. Obviously, guys like Mikel and Cam Fab coming through. What has their development been like for you over the year? Because it feels like a light went on somewhere at some point during the season.
Yeah, so proud of those guys. You know, Cam Fab's a smart player. He's played a lot of football. He understands every position on the field, so he's kind of a guy. He can do a bunch of different things. And just to see Kale's always stay locked in and be ready. And then, you know, he went from not playing a whole lot to shoot. We had some dudes go down. He had to play the whole game. And he was able to go out there and do it at a high level. So I think it just shows those guys, like, always being ready to go whenever their number's called upon to go out and execute. And that's what we got to continue to do, because football, you never know. You know, I tell the guys, you're one play away from having to go the whole distance. And so they got to be ready for that, and they got to be prepared.
Juice, I was curious, because talking to the players yesterday, they were kind of the idea that you guys haven't really delved into Texas yet, haven't really kind of gotten into the nuts and bolts of it. It's more just kind of getting back in the swing of things. But for you guys as coaches, how much do you feel like they've changed offensively?
You know, we're very early in the kids are right. We're very early in the game plan stages. I know we've watched film as coaches, like, because it's a lot of game film, cut-ups, because we've been on the road every day recruiting, yeah, really. And so you watch cut-ups. Sometimes you have the internet service. Sometimes you don't on the plane. But we're really finna dive into them now with these kids going home. And when they're able to get back, we'll really have a beat on our game plan and what we want to do.
How much do you think – is there something you can say, whether it's mentality or whatnot, that having played them already almost in their house in the state of Texas and coming away with a W, do you feel psychologically, maybe does that give you any edge, or is it literally just new year, new team, new everything?
I think it's new year, new team. I mean, you look at us in the backfield, you got two guys, EJ and Jabbar, that's starting that corner that didn't play in that game last year. So yeah, for us, we just got to go out and be able to attack it. We know they're going to be ready to go. You know, it's a playoff game, and so the implications is a lot higher than when we played them last year, and our guys know that. They're going to travel well. It's going to be the same type of environment. You know, we need our dog fans to get down there. And so it should be a heck of a test on the first.
Just one last thing. I know UW fans would want me to ask you, how are the new guys coming along, the guys that didn't see the field, the true freshmen, guys like a Caleb Presley or a Curly Reed or Bryant or some of these other guys?
These practices have been cool because those guys have gotten a lot of reps. Caleb picked off a ball today. It was good to see Leroy and Curly out there running around. Vince Holmes has made some plays. So these practices have been good watching the young guys because, you know, sometimes we get separated between scout team and look squad and things like that. And so send them out there running around. But those kids study. They're in meetings now. They have to answer questions. So it's been good. We're excited.
I was going to say, now that they don't have to worry about the redshirt idea, like they can play as much as they want now, do you have to kind of constantly remind them, hey, you're one snap away from potentially getting in?
No, I mean, we had kind of a pecking order. You know, Leroy's a guy that's traveled all the time. Vince Holmes, they've played some special teams. So there's a pecking order there that those kids have played on teams and they have to be ready to go. So we'll stick to that plan. And, you know, the guys who haven't played, they got to be ready if somebody goes down to be able to help us on special teams or something like that.
Okay.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.